Hey, look who's here. John DiIorio, CEO of First Alliance Lending, and just an all-around nice guy. John, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. It's great to see you.
Good to have you here today. The reason I asked John to stop by here today is because he's very involved in his town, Pomfret. He loves his community, and like many people in the town of Pomfret, he's very concerned about the pavement dressing conditioner, which contains high concentrations of coal tar. It's been in the news a lot since July when they used it on the Long Meadow Drive development, and it's been quite controversial since, and new developments yesterday. John, first question, do you live there?
I do not. I do not live in Long Meadow Drive. Many of my friends do. Many of the people that educated my children do.
Yeah.
Many of the state troopers that protect us do. People that I care a lot about live there. I do not.
So as a result of what has transpired since that material was placed on Long Meadow Drive, and since residents, it was really residents who woke everyone up and said, hey, this stuff is bad, and we'll get into that in a second. You're concerned about your community. An ad hoc committee was formed to do the Long Meadow ad hoc committee was formed to do what? What is your charge as this committee?
I think really the long-term charge of that committee is to figure out what the solution is. How do we mitigate the problem? It began with us meeting with the engineer that did an engineering report for the town. And that was an incredible discussion where he had come in thinking that this product was safe and that it was okay and the people didn't have much to worry about. By the time that he left that discussion and had all the information that the committee had, because it's a very well-intentioned, hardworking, intelligent group of people who understand what's there, he reversed course pretty significantly. And at one point, even said that he could not ethically stand behind the report, which was an incredible moment. But on a forward basis, the job of the committee is to try to help figure out what the best solution is.
Okay. Pavement dressing conditioner. That's what was applied by the town. Was this the highway department who put it down, or was it an outside contractor that they hired? And why did they hire this contractor?
It was an outside contractor that was hired. I've spent some time with Mr. Baldwin looking at the process that led to choosing the contractor. To be honest with you, it's gray at best. I'm not really exactly sure how we ended up with this particular contractor. But there's a local gentleman who was selling the product. He went to the First Selectman and introduced the product. Yeah. And then the decision was made to hire this outside contractor from, I believe, Tennessee, to come up and apply the product.
And was this to save some money? Did we use this product instead of doing something that would have cost more and been a little more involved, or what?
Absolutely. I think that's a really important part of this discussion. As I think this problem came about, with the best of intentions. I think that the town of Pomfret was looking for ways to more cost effectively manage our roads. I think that was
good stewards of the tax dollars.
Exactly
That are in the coffers.
Right, and innovate. I mean, and innovation is I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
innovation inspires me. But when you're innovating in the public realm, you need to dot your I's and cross your T's.
So intentions were good leading up to it. Now the material is put down, and residents. What was the red flag that made residents say something? Because, putting material down on the road, that wouldn't necessarily get everyone all worked up. What made what was the tripwire for the residents?
I believe a couple of days before the application, they got notice that this was going to be done. And a few of the residents got concerned and said, whoa, 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 whoa. Can I please see what this is before we go ahead and do this? And then they went to meet with the manufacturer of the product, they left that conversation comfortable that it was going to be okay. But when the next morning, when they got there to start to apply the stuff and they saw what it really was, they got very concerned immediately because what they had been told the night before was not what came to be. So, you're talking about some folks living there that are, professors at WPI, and they know this stuff. They're environmental engineers. And I think as soon as some of those residents saw what it was, they objected and asked for it to,
okay,
to stop.
So we're familiar with that, and there were TV cameras and all that stuff, and now that's the cameras have all gone away, and you're still stuck with this material is on Long Meadow Drive. Is that the proper name of that road, by the way?
It is. Well, the Long Meadow Drive subdivision. There are several different circles off of it.
But. All right. So so the entire development is covered with this stuff.
Correct.
And it's been there since July. You had mentioned off air, and now the snow plows are going to start getting at it. Will that exacerbate seepage or concerns in the environment?
We don't know. Listen, the honest answer here, Gary, is we just don't know. Coal tar is very dangerous stuff. Yeah. It is scientifically, without question, that coal tar is very dangerous stuff. And the engineer who the town hired even said as much in his report. The question is it going to mobilize? We don't know.
Yeah.
We do know from a 1994 FAA report that the coal tar oil, the dangerous stuff, sits on the surface. That is unquestionable. Some will say that it binds to the concrete in ways that coal tar sealants don't bind to the concrete. We're not sure. We think it's unlikely, but we're not sure.
You mentioned
a snowplow mobilize it? A steel blade bouncing? I mean,
yeah,
it mobilizes regular asphalt.
Sure.
From my experience.
Yeah.
So.
You mentioned an FAA study. That's because this is widely used at airports. This product.
It is widely used at airports. One of its best attributes is that it repels fuel.
Okay.
The coal tar oil sits on top, yep, and fuel can't penetrate it. And if there's a spill, it can save the runway. So, yeah, okay, what the FAA did was look at a whole bunch of different rejuvenators and sealants and compare them with each other.
Yeah.
PDC was one of them.
What's the difference between what was applied to Long Meadow Estates versus a homeowner's having his driveway sealed because it's spring and that's what everybody does?
The difference is a rejuvenator penetrates the asphalt, which means it actually goes down into the bitumen somewhere around 3/8 of an inch and loosens up the bitumen, and it rejuvenates. As you drive over it over and over and over again, it basically revives the asphalt to a certain extent. A driveway seal coat sits strictly on the top. Mm-hmm. And has some different components in it, primarily clay, that make it stay there. But it's very important to understand that PDC is a rejuvenator and a sealant. It is not just a rejuvenator.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, does the sealant properties in PDC respond the same way driveway sealant properties respond, the driveway sealants respond, and we just don't know that answer.
Okay. Yesterday was huge news regarding the cease and desist letter from the Environmental Protection Agency. Speak to that. What happened yesterday?
Well, I mean, the KEA Paving, who, by the way, filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy in September, and a local SureTreat Technologies, you know, they very slyly, I'll say, make it seem as though the EPA has endorsed and improved this product. And
they use the EPA logo on their promotional brochures.
Yeah. But they go further than that. They use language too.
Okay.
And when this was being debated in town, you know, that was one of the things that was being said.
These
pamphlets
were actually handed out in Pomfret.
Yeah.
That say EPA approved or whatever.
Yeah. And I think the EPA stated pretty clearly yesterday that it's not.
Yeah.
And they issued a cease and desist to KEA Paving and to SureTreat. And we were thrilled to see that development.
Yeah.
This is important, Gary. It's important because, you know, when we're talking about whether or not something has an adverse health impact on people, on human beings, the standard has to be really high.
Sure.
And and the people that are working on this, there's nothing to their motives but a sincere concern and a genuine desire to fix
the
problem.
Absolutely. I see that too. I see that from all sides here.
Yeah.
It happened. It happened. You can't undo it.
That's right.
We can't spin back the time in our time machine. So now we have to deal with it. And that's what your ad hoc committee is doing, about six people on the ad hoc committee. And your charge is to just help mediate and get through the program. By the way, I got to say, Hats off to you, John, because you don't live in the development. You are a Pomfret resident. And you said, yeah, I'll serve on this ad hoc committee. I'm thinking there's a lot of heavy lifting on this committee. And I applaud you and the other members for doing this work in your community. It speaks to your character and how you love your community. So now the EPA, I mean, I'm sure, you know, they're aware of this product, but now they're really like, it seems to me that they're probably hyper concerned now. This, when I see that cease and desist, I'm like, okay, you just woke up a sleeping bear here. I'm projecting out national ramifications. I mean, is it possible that our little town, Pomfret, our little quaint little town, will be part of the flashpoint for this stuff really being looked at on a nationwide level?
Well, I hope so, Gary. Yeah. I honestly, I live by the belief that good can come from everything.
Of course.
And you have to make the choice to let that happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this committee is after. And if this is a flashpoint, if it is a time when awareness gets peaked, that's a positive result. And I think that Pomfret, we have the opportunity to lead the way. And step one should be a ban on coal tar products in the town of Pomfret. This is not the dangers of coal tar are not an open question.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous, bad stuff. And Pomfret has always led when it comes to environmental, awareness. When I was on the Board of Finance, we preserved thousands and thousands of acres of land with Jim Rivers leading the charge. I chaired the solar committee that led to the solar panels going on Pomfret Community School, which at the time, to have a solar array on a school that size was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
You know what? Look around now.
Yeah.
Right? And with coal tar, we have the same opportunity. I think we should seize it. And let's take this this problem and turn it into a positive.
And other leaders, other highway departments, selectmen, mayors in our area should be paying attention to this also, obviously, because we all have to deal with this stuff with maintaining our roadways here in our towns. So tomorrow, your ad hoc committee heading where to do what?
Going to UMass Lowell. They have I don't know much about this, to be honest with you. I just know Craig Baldwin introduced us to this lab in UMass Lowell, where there's a lot of expertise when it comes to asphalt. And we're going up to look at a product that they introduced to us at the last meeting as a possible overlay for the Long Meadow Drive subdivision. There are really only three ways to address this problem from my research anyway. Of the three, overlay is probably the best approach. I say probably because we just don't have enough information yet mm-hmm. to definitively answer that question. But I think that we need to spend some serious time and bring in some serious professionals, asphalt engineers, environmental engineers, and interview them to talk about what the best way to overlay is. Because mm-hmm. there are all kinds of other complications with overlay. You have to integrate into driveways. The mm-hmm. entire subdivision has curbing. You've got storm drains.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you just don't go and roll over some asphalt and call it a day. There's going to be a process here. I am encouraged. I think that Mr. Baldwin is committed to fixing the problem. I think that he sees overlay as the solution to the problem. I think what that looks like is still an open question.
Okay, so the final decision of how to deal with and remediate what's put down, that still has to be made, and cost will factor in. I'm sure there'll be some town meeting or some vote or something, I would imagine, right?
Well, I would think, I've been watching closely the Board of Finance to see what they do. They play a huge role in this,
of
right?
Course.
Because they're going to...
It's ultimately whatever they do, there'll be a price tag affixed to it. So.
Right, and they're going to have to... They're going to have to come up with the funding, and they're going to have to, and I think that needs to be an open public process, and I'm confident that it will be. We just can't answer that question yet. Yes, okay. There's going to be an expense associated with it. Pomfret is well positioned. The town has been financially well managed. I remember back to Dave Patino, David Flath, when I first moved to Pomfret, those guys were running the town. I got engaged. I got involved.
Yeah.
From them forward, Pomfret, my experience, Pomfret's been very well run from a financial perspective. And then you got Jim Rivers. I mean, the guy's just Yeah. Right? He's an all-star. And
so, again, getting back to yesterday and that cease and desist from the EPA to the contractors or whomever who use this product or apply this product, they're promotional materials, and it's cited in that cease and desist. It had the EPA logo, you know, implying that it was EPA approved. And, boy, you really can't hold anyone. How can you say something bad about someone who says, "Well, I read all their stuff. It says it's EPA approved. Let's put it down on our roads in our community." And that, who knows how many communities in our country that's happening. So, yeah, even that. You know, we hear about fake news. We have to be aware of fake news now and bogus stuff on social media and the internet. And now you're going to worry about EPA logos on pamphlets that say EPA approved. Seriously. Now we got to dive into that too.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate.
Yeah, John. Again, I salute you and your ad hoc committee for getting involved in this. You didn't run from it; you ran to it to say, "How can I help?" And I think that's pretty cool. Good luck, and I just appreciate the clarity. I know if you live in Pomfret, you're living this. You know all the details. You're on the outside, even here in Putnam. We're hearing about it. We're listening, but I just wanted to bring a little focus, a tighter focus in for everyone else here.
Yeah,
today.
And I just I'm passionate about this issue.
Yeah,
my middle son got sick, and I lived through that experience. I know what it's like, and we have to. The standard here is high, and I hope that one good thing that can come out of this in the short term is that surrounding towns understand what coal products are and the dangers that they present, and that they don't use them. That would be a wonderful result here, and that we can lead the way get a coal tar ban in Pomfret. And I'm not going to stop there. We'll continue on to the state, and we'll keep going.
And homeowners too, take a closer look at the materials you're putting on your own driveway at your house.
That's right. I want to be clear about a ban in Pomfret. My view on the ban in Pomfret is it should be for public roads and surfaces, because I don't think we can tell people what to do with their driveways. But I do think we can tell people that if they put this on their driveways, there are some risks.
Indeed. John, I want to thank you for your time today. And we'll keep you posted on this as it moves along. It's 7:55. Good morning.
Thanks a lot, man.